Good morning. It's 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm filling in today for Joy Cardine. Regular listeners to this program know that we set aside time in the air each month to talk a little bit about Wisconsin Public Radio and take questions and comments from the audience as well, and we try to focus a little more on one particular area. This month, the focus is going to be on the news you hear every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio's news director, Michael Leland, will be joining us in the studio to talk about that. And also in the studio with us this morning is Wisconsin Public Radio's director of radio, Phil Corvo. You're welcome to join the discussion as always. If you have a question about how news stories are selected and why, give us a call at 800-642-1234. And you can also call us at our Madison number if you're in the area. That is 263-1890. And don't forget, you can join by email. And that address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Phil Corvo and Michael Leland, good morning. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gene.
All right, let's start with Phil Corvo and talk about the role of news in the overall programming here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We've got two networks, the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio that people are listening to right now, also the NPR News and Classical service of Wisconsin Public Radio. News is heard on both of them, but in slightly different quantities.
That's right, Gene. And news has always been a very important component of Wisconsin Public Radio's mission. And we bring national and international news through National Public Radio. And local news is also a very important part because we're one of the few radio stations that has actual real radio reporters left in the state. And in fact, we have reporters stationed around the state at each of our six bureaus around the state. We have worked to strengthen our news operation, and I think it's one of the best, given the size of the staff that we have. National Public Radio, of course, is our main source for national and international news, and NPR started in 1972, with All Things Considered, with really on a shoestring, and it's grown to be one of the best and largest radio news journalistic organizations in the country. In fact, it has the third most foreign correspondents of any news gathering organization in the world. And we also bring BBC news overnight and an hour program daily from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation as well. So news has always been an important component, and I think will continue to be. And local news, which is something that only we can do, and obviously National Public Radio doesn't provide for us, it's an expensive component of our budget, but it's also one of the most important because it's something that you can't find anyplace else.
And this is a good opportunity, I think, to bring Michael Leland into the discussion. Michael Leland, the news director here at WPR, and the person who is in charge of that local, that state, that regional news that you hear here on WPR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like Phil said, we are unique in that we're a service that provides news from around the state. We are able to cover Wisconsin, I think, like no other radio service can. There are, large radio stations in Milwaukee, but obviously they cover largely just the metro area of Milwaukee. We have reporters, Mike Simonson up in Superior telling us about things that are important in that part of the state, not only for his audience in the Superior area, because he does do some stories that are purely for that part of the state, but also telling the rest of the state what some of the issues there are. And that pretty much holds throughout the state, whether it's Chuck Quirnbach in Milwaukee or Mary Jo Wagner in Eau Claire, Sandra Harris in La Crosse. Bringing the events, the issues, and just the goings on in the state to people everywhere in the state, I think is what we try to do, and I think it's what we do best here.
I also think we're the only radio news organization with a full-time reporter at the state capitol.
Yes,
we also feel is important.
And it's interesting, I think, and Phil touched upon this, but if you've been following the media for 10 or 20 years, there has been a real sea change in the difference between the way commercial media, particularly local commercial media, cover the news and the way public broadcasting, public radio covers the news. And there's been a big change in international coverage, as Phil pointed out, but also a big change in the way local coverage works. For a lot of the smaller markets in the state, there are very few local outlets left. And Wisconsin Public Radio, it seems to me, has filled a large part of that void. I don't know whether it's been by intention or just a happy accident,
but here we are. It's worked that way. And I think that is happening throughout radio and throughout the country. I mean, I got into full-time reporting in 1986 and then started doing it part-time before that in high school and college. It was not unusual for, you know, any small station in any community to have at least a one-person news department. Now, through deregulation, news and public affairs is not required to the extent that it used to be. Through consolidation, you have large companies owning many stations, and they may decide that, well, we own these six stations, let's just have one news department instead of six or instead of five. So you have fewer and fewer stations doing their local and regional news, at a time where, you know, back in the 1980s, public radio was not always the place you went to find out what was going on in your area, with some exceptions, the larger stations, and Wisconsin was certainly among them. But now public radio largely is where the good local and regional reporting is being done on radio, because by and large, so many commercial stations have just gotten out of that business.
And let's talk a little bit about whether there is a difference between news you hear on public radio and commercial radio. You know, the cliche always is that public radio has a liberal bias, that we get some government funding and we take our marching orders from Washington and so on and so on. And there's lots of surveys out there that look at that. And we of course, get feedback from listeners and so on. And I'm wondering how either of you would respond to that. Is there a difference, first of all, in the news that you hear on commercial or public broadcasting? And what about that issue of bias? Because you can't really have a discussion about public radio news without having that discussion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the easy one is to look at the difference between public and commercial radio. And, you know, I think largely we serve different audiences. I think if you're listening to, say, drive time news on a commercial station in a large city, you're going to get a lot of short bits of information, 30, 35-second, 40-second stories on this particular thing that maybe happened 20 minutes ago. Maybe it's a car wreck that's tying up your highway. A lot of things that you just don't hear in public radio. You know, house fires, car wrecks, convenience store holdups, that sort of thing. Not to say that commercial radio doesn't get into more, you know, issue-oriented stuff, but it tends to be more superficial. I can say that as someone who's been a commercial radio reporter. We would do 30, 35-second stories, and that was pretty much it, and then you moved on to the next thing. In public radio, we tend to look more at issues, what affects people, what is still going to be important tomorrow. Not to say we never do lighter stories, not to say we don't do the occasional crime story, because sometimes, you know, crime is news, whether it's on commercial or public radio. But, we tend to take a little bit of a deeper look. From time to time, we may take a more in-depth look at a story. Sean Johnson will call me from the state capitol and say, you know, I was going to do a minute and a half on this for our newscast, but I'd also like to do a three-minute version of this story to look more in-depth to this story, and we can play that on Morning Edition on our News and Classical, NPR News and Classical Network in the morning. So that's another way that we can offer more to listeners who want to find out more about particular stories. You want to talk about liberal bias?
I'll start. and you mentioned National Public Radio, too. And first of all, I want to say, and a lot of people think that National Public Radio is this organization that tells us what to do, but it's the opposite. They produce programming and we buy programming. It's a member organization. The board of directors of National Public Radio is made up largely of elected members who are station managers at public radio stations around the country. And we can buy as much or as little of the programming as we like. We tend to, because we're a larger state network, buy a lot of it. We buy programs like Talk of the Nation, for example. and Morning Edition and All Things Considered heard on the other network we have, the NPR News and Classical Network, and the newscasting package. But one of the things that we do hear about is and National Public Radio does too, the issue of bias, and it's an issue that we take seriously. When people ask me about it, are we biased? I say we strive for objectivity and we strive for balance and we strive to be fair. Obviously, every reporter and every talk show host, most of them vote. I think they have a political affiliations and they have everybody has their own feelings, but we try to keep those as private as possible and to be as objective as possible. And CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, did a study, and the latest one was in 2003. They commissioned a study by the Terrence Group and found that with a statistically significant sample of the population, 22% felt that public radio had a liberal bias, 11% a conservative bias, 37% no apparent bias, and 31% unsure. So about a fifth of the people that were surveyed thought we had a liberal bias. I think that one of the hallmarks of public radio is that we promote an exchange of ideas, mm-hmm. and an open exchange of ideas is sometimes perceived as liberal, but we don't think of it that way.
No, and you know, like Phil said, reporters, I think just by their nature, tend to be more involved than many other people. They obviously got into this business because they have an active interest in what's happening. And that probably extends to politics. You know, they are probably regular voters. They follow what's going on. I honestly couldn't tell you, of the dozen people on our staff, I could guess maybe, but, I don't know the political persuasions of the people on our staff. I don't ask. I don't really care, because I trust that they are going to, find the truth in whatever story they're going to do and put that out on the air. And we take that seriously. We're journalists. We're not activists. We're not looking to promote specific issues or causes or people, and we're not looking to attack specific issues, causes, or people based on who they are or what they believe.
You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're talking about news on Wisconsin Public Radio as part of our first Monday of the Month discussion of issues related to WPR. If you'd like to join in, you can do so toll-free. It is 800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Let us know what you think about the news here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Could it be better? Do you feel as though it accurately reflects what is happening here in Wisconsin? Let us know by giving us a phone call. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 23 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 9 with Kathleen Dunn from President Bush calling for a global goal for greenhouse gas emissions to the first formal meeting between the U.S. and Iran in 27 years. Kathleen and her guest will be discussing last week's top political headlines. That's up after 9. Until then, we are talking about Wisconsin Public Radio with WPR's Director of Radio, Phil Corvo, and WPR News Director Michael Leland. We talk about Wisconsin Public Radio with you during the first Monday of each month with a special focus on an area of WPR. And this month, the focus is on news, and we are talking about that. Let's go back to Michael Leland for a second, and let's talk a little bit about the process of covering what we cover, because as someone who was in news for a long time, that is sort of the eternal question. Why did you cover that story when this story was over here and it was, if not as important, probably more important than the story you chose to cover? And it's always interesting when you start telling people the process. It really helps them understand it. So how does that process work here at WPR?
It's an ongoing process. Each day at about 9:15, we have a conference call of as many reporters as can attend. And we talk about things that are happening in various parts of the state. Largely it's what can we get today, because we're already thinking toward those afternoon newscasts, and we've got to have stories to fill those and stories to fill the morning newscasts. So knowing that we've got to come up with, you know, maybe a half a dozen stories in the next 6 hours, you know, what's important? Are there events being held? Are there important news conferences we should cover? Are there news conferences that maybe we don't need to be at? Are there things happening later in the week that we should be aware of? And maybe, you know, how are we going to cover that when it comes up? So it's a discussion that we have every day, and it's a discussion that continues throughout the day, something that we, you know, that looks like it could be a good story at 9:15 in the morning, might either turn out to be less interesting than we thought or less important than we thought, or something more important may come up. You know, one of the struggles is even with a news department of about 10 reporters, you know, we don't always have enough people to cover everything we want to cover. We don't always have enough people in the places where things are happening that we'd like to cover. And many of our reporters also have other duties. They may be, you know, local morning hosts at their station, and their day may end at 1 o'clock. Well, if something's happening at 4 in their city, you know, we probably aren't going to be able to get there. So It's a juggling act, really. You know, we look at, we try to think, you know, what is going to affect the most people? What is going to be of interest to most people? Is this an issue or an event that is likely to be big news or, you know, of interest to people in Superior as well as Wausau as well as Milwaukee and Madison? And those are, you know, those are largely the criteria that we use. You know, where is... where was I going with this? You know, where's the greatest interest? Where's mm-hmm. the greatest effect for a particular story?
You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about news and news coverage here in WPR with Michael Leland, Wisconsin Public Radio's news director, and Phil Corvo, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go to Sally, who joins us in Middleton. Hi, Sally.
Well, hi. I didn't expect to get on so quickly. There's an organization called FAIR, for Fair Broadcasting,
sure.
that
mm-hmm.
monitors, you know that. And to the issues today of news broadcasting, they carefully surveyed the major evening newscasts recently, and of ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS. Group called FAIR found 393 interviews on the issue of war, of which only three were with anti-war leaders. Only three anti-war leaders were interviewed, chosen to be interviewed of those. If there's any bias to be found, that would indicate to me that they're biased, the major news broadcasts are biased in the other way.
Actually, it's interesting that you mention that because... looking at the same study that CPB commissioned, 22% of the people surveyed thought that that public radio had a liberal bias, but 32% thought that CBS had a liberal bias, 31% NBC, 31% ABC, 31% CNN. So we, I guess in the public perception at least, we do pretty well.
And it's an interesting, Sally brings up an interesting point, FAIR and accuracy in reporting is just one of a number of watchdog groups that are out there right now. And, you know, in that sense, it really does help, I think, keep journalism. I don't know if I want to use the word honest, but it's always a constant reminder that people are always watching not just what Wisconsin Public Radio produces in terms of news or NPR, but there are a lot of people paying attention to news in general these days. And I think that's very healthy.
No, I think it's good. You know, I think it's, you know, we want to be accountable to, you know, whether it's viewers at CBS or listeners here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It's why we, you know, it's why we have a full-time audience services department. Mm-hmm. It's why, you know, I encourage people to email me if they have questions or concerns, because it is a good check. You know, if you hear something you don't think was quite right, if you hear something that, you know, you felt could have been more complete, you know, I encourage you to email me, because those are the kind of things that we, you know, may discuss at a later date, and keeps us thinking about what we do, and reminds us that there are people listening, and that the words we choose and the topics we choose matter to a lot of people. You know, we can't promise that, you know, we don't set out and think, you know, we're going to do this particular story because it's going to reflect this person's viewpoint. But it does remind us, that, you know, that you know, it's more involved than just reporting, you know, what one person says.
And one other thing I wanted to bring up too before I forgot is that at the national level, NPR has an ombudsman.
Yeah.
And if you're not, if you didn't go to journalism school, if you don't follow the media closely, that could be a very mysterious term, and you might not know what that is. But that is a place where people can go when they have concerns like this, particularly in regards to national coverage. So, Phil, could you address that?
Right. NPR has an ombudsman. It's currently Bill Marimo, who reports directly to the president of the company and deals with topics that come up by listeners and acts as a kind of an objective source and also writes articles, and you can actually contact the NPR ombudsman from their website at npr.org. But some of the topics that he writes about are the use and misuse of anonymous sources, investigative reporting, covering the Middle East, the art of the interview, and things like that. So, I mean, that's an important function that NPR has. We don't have an ombudsman, and I don't know of any local public broadcasters that do, even Minnesota Public Radio, which is by far the largest organization. Part of it is a budgetary issue, but NPR does.
Let's go back to callers right now, and Carl joins us from Superior. Hi, Carl.
Hi. Yeah, talking about the issue of bias in the media and the differences between NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, I think there is a real difference, and I think every news source or every radio network or TV network has a bias, and oftentimes the networks that claim not to have a bias are the most biased. But I don't see that necessarily as a problem. What I think, is different about Wisconsin Public Radio and very positive is its approach. And not very many, programs or networks have an approach toward aimed at critical thinking of the listeners, which WPR does, and I think that's a major difference. You have, topics which you try to get people from all sides of, and then you invite as many callers as possible to call in and comment. And I think that audience participation element is very important. And, I see a difference in NPR where, I understand they can't, necessarily have as many people or as much, since it's nationwide, they have to be more selective about their callers. But on the other hand, I also think that they don't necessarily cover things the same way. I'm thinking in particular of On Point, Tom Ashbrook in the afternoons, asks questions that on the face of them, might sound neutral, but I think the way that he approaches that is from a more conservative, slant.
Mm-hmm.
And the only media watch group that I trust is FAIR because their studies are objective, and any group with family in it, like the CPB study, that raises red flags in my head as conservative biased.
Well, I'll let Phil Corvo respond to that.
Well, I appreciate the comments, Carl, and you've touched on something that I was going to mention too. We do have on this network, on the Ideas Network, it's primarily call-in interview and talk programming, which isn't news per se, but does deal often with news topics. And that's another area where we try to be as objective as possible. Obviously, it's more spontaneous. It's live for one thing, and so the host is a personality, whereas in a newscast or a news feature, the host is not the personality. So there is a difference there, but we try to be objective in both cases.
And the talk programming, it should be pointed out, Michael Leland, you have really nothing to do with that.
No, I mean, I occasionally will, Joy Cardine is the head of the Ideas Network, and we occasionally chat about, topics that are coming up, and her producers let me know, stories that are coming up, and we try to find ways to work together. For example, in the last hour, you had Sean Johnson on talking about state matters, and Shemaine Mills was on earlier this morning. So we try to share resources this way, but Yeah, the talk shows are, I think, a way to go more in depth on certain certain stories that may or may not have already been covered in our newscasts. But it's a chance to, you know, not only bring in more people and spend more time talking about an issue, but to get individuals involved and get some reaction and other perspectives.
We're talking about news on Wisconsin Public Radio. We'd like you to join in if you can, if you've got some opinions about whether it's good or bad, whether we cover stories that matter in your life or whether we're way off base. 800-642-1234 in Madison. It is 263-1890. Let's go to West Allis, and Milton joins us. Good morning.
Okay, I would like to know why Wisconsin Public Radio only reports on the legislature when things are a fait accompli rather than when things are in committee, when we could actually call our legislators or show up at public hearings. And I'd also like to know why during the nuclear security scandal at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Research Reactor, which was covered by ABC News in Chicago and I think actually got a little national coverage, why Wisconsin Public Radio kept completely silent about that, both in the news department and on the talk side. And also, you started out the hour saying, oh, we're the biggest, we're the best, we have all these reporters. And then just a couple of callers ago, you were saying, our resources are stretched thin, some of our people wear two hats. You can't have it both ways. It's talking out of both sides of your mouth.
All right, Milton, thanks for those comments. And let's have Michael Leland address them. Where do you want to start?
I'll start with resources. It is true we have a larger news staff than probably many other public radio stations around the country and services. But it is reality that not all of them can do everything we'd like to do, because we do have competing resources, we do have competing interests, and different people need to do different things. That's just the reality. Given the fact that some of our reporters double as morning hosts and or talk show hosts, I still think that we have one of the largest and best in the country. So I don't think that's really talking out of both sides of our mouths. I think that's just the reality of the way things are. I would disagree that we only cover the legislature when things are finished. Sean Johnson is following the legislature very closely, and he doesn't report on every single bill that's filed, but frequently will report on bills as they're filed and has been covering committee meetings straight through the process. So, we are getting regular updates as things move through, and those stories usually end with, what happens next? This needs to go to the full House or the full Senate, or there's going to be another public hearing. So, I think we do. I think we do follow the process on, especially major pieces of legislation. The nuclear security scandal. I have no answer. I suspect that's something that happened before I got here because it's the first time I've heard of it. I've been here for 11 and a half months. So,
so there you are. Phil, anything to add to that?
Just that, actually, when I was talking about the biggest and the best, I was actually referring to National Public Radio, who really is. I mean, they have the most foreign correspondents, and they have a lot of resources that we don't have. But I think we do pretty well with what we have.
And I think when you say NPR has the most foreign correspondents, it does. We were talking before about the differences between commercial and non-commercial broadcasting. And as you say, 25, 30 years ago when NPR started, they did not have the most foreign they had like one foreign correspondent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really, there's been a big role reversal in philosophy and resources between commercial networks and networks like NPR. And you can hear it on the air. And I'm not sure if people are really aware of that sea change, that shift.
Well, that's right. I'm glad you pointed that out. And I think it reflects the hunger that the American public has for this kind of radio news journalism. The reason that NPR has been able to add as many resources as it has is because the signature programs like Morning Edition and All Things Considered have grown so much because the member stations have purchased them and have helped to support them. And so it all goes back to listener support and membership that stations feel the programs are that important that they will pay that amount of money for the programs, because we pay a lot of money for those programs, but we feel it's worth it. Otherwise, we wouldn't buy them.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about news this hour on Wisconsin Public Radio with WPR's Director of Radio, Phil Corriveau, and Wisconsin Public Radio's News Director, Michael Leland. Your comments are welcome at 800-642-1234. If you're calling for Madison, it is 263-1890. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. It's 19 minutes before 9 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 10, how old is the universe? Are there other planets like Earth? How and why do massive stars explode? After 10, Kathleen Dunn and her guest examine a list of the 50 greatest mysteries of the universe. This hour, the mystery we are talking about is the news coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio, why things get covered, how they get covered, and your input into the process. 800-642-1234 is the toll-free number if you'd like to join in. In Madison, it is 263-1890, and you can also join us by email, talk@wpr.org. Our guest in the studio is WPR's Director of Radio, Phil Corriveau, and WPR's News Director, Michael Leland. Let's go to an email we got from Jim in Middleton. And says that he has suggested several times that a current weather report from some location in southwestern Wisconsin or even Dubuque, Iowa, be included in the weather reporting. Weather systems most often enter the state from the southwest. It would be useful for most of the population to know the conditions that might be coming their way. Michael Leland, let's start with you. This is always a topic of discussion. A lot of the weather forecasts that we have right now on Wisconsin Public Radio are sort of statewide in nature. And so it's, you know, it's sunny and 70 in one part of the state, and there's snow and, you know, some frozen waters in Superior. And it's always, weather is one of those things that we get a lot of comments about.
Yeah, it's very difficult to do. I worked in Michigan before I came here, and we were sort of regional for the southern half of the state. That was tough enough. But now to take a state the size of Wisconsin and to try to, first of all, you know, try to accurately reflect what's happening in the weather, but do it in the limited time constraints that we often have to do a weather forecast is a challenge. We try to focus on, you know, things that are happening. If there's a storm in southwest Wisconsin, certainly if it's severe weather, you know, we'll address that first. But it does get difficult to focus, you know, more on just one part of the state on a regular basis, because, you know, it may or may not be of interest to, you know, that weather system in Dubuque or Prairie du Chien may not be affecting someone in Superior or Green Bay for, you know, for many hours. Not to say that we don't mention it. And, I think that, you know, many of our hosts will, you know, have a radar up in their, put the radar up on their computer and mention, you know, there are some rain showers or there's a line of thunderstorms moving through this part of the state. We try to be timely, but also, working within the amount of time that we have. So, yeah, I mean, weather is an ongoing discussion we have here, and it's not an easy one.
It's not an easy one. And part of it is even if we do local, so I'm doing air parentheses there, weather forecasts. The fact is that the weather in Sister Bay may not be the same as that in Green Bay or Oshkosh, and they're all fed from the same regional bureau. So it's very difficult when you're a statewide network to cover the weather. But I will point out, if there is serious weather or life-threatening weather, the emergency broadcast alert system kicks in, and that is also on a regional basis. And so that's the sort of the backup system that we have.
Let's go to Dawn, who joins us from Appleton. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, just two very quick comments. The first is I wanted to rebut the gentleman who said that WPR was not the best insofar as state public radios are concerned. I've listened to NPR stations in Oklahoma, Virginia, and Wisconsin now, and Wisconsin is so superior to at least the other two states that I listened to that I ended up, as soon as the webcast was up and my internet connection was good enough, listening online when I was living in Virginia. The second comment I want to make real briefly, I appreciate the lack of traffic coverage because I don't like hearing about where the slow spots are on 94 every 5 minutes, though it can occasionally, as I learned this morning, be a curse. especially if you have a situation where a large swath of a highway is closed off due to flooding and you don't know about it until the sheriff's department kind of gently steers you off the freeway into city streets. And I'll take my response off the air. Thank you.
Dawn, thanks for the call, and appreciate the compliments, of course. And the traffic issue gets back to almost, I think, probably very similar to the weather. It's difficult. It's probably resources. But Michael Leland, why don't you take that? Because I'm not familiar with our traffic coverage.
Yeah, well, for the most part, we don't do traffic coverage, just because, well, you know, partly because for much of the day, we are a statewide service, and it wouldn't do a listener in Eau Claire a whole lot of good to know, you know, what traffic is going to be like in Waukesha right now. But the caller makes a good point. When there's something major that happens, I don't know, you know, around Toma or something like that, and an entire section of the highway is shut down, is that something we should talk about? To be honest, you know, unless we get a call from somebody, there's a pretty good chance we don't know that something like that has happened because, our reporters aren't monitoring police scanners. And if it happens in a part of the state where we don't have a reporter, again, we're not going to know about it until, you know, we may hear from the sheriff's department. We may, you know, hear from a listener saying, you know, do you know that this is happening? And if it's big enough, we'll probably check it out because, I can think of an example a few months ago when a section of I-94 was closed down because a bridge had been damaged. That's something we mentioned on our news because, people move around and that's a major artery. So it is a balancing act. I will admit that. And we probably could be doing more of major events when they happen. Sometimes it's just a matter of learning about them and then, you know, using that information.
Let's move on, take another call right now. Rich joins us from Sullivan. Hi, Rich.
Hi, good morning. For me, well, I'm somewhere in one of those 30% figures that were cited by the CTV surveys. The big gap in Wisconsin Public Radio, which has no problem getting representatives from Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce and other businesses on again and again, is the reporting of labor news. And I really do appreciate that around Labor Day, you will have a show or two shows that deal with labor issues. But part of the reason for Wisconsin's falling wage and salary level in relationship to other states surrounding us has to do not just with how many baccalaureate degrees we graduate within the state of Wisconsin, but also with the attacks on labor. And while I'm at it, I have never received a sensible explanation why Wisconsin Public Radio does not try airing Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman at least on a trial basis. If she's biased, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is the countervailing force to such bias, and they're on all the time.
All right, two questions there, and let's start with Michael Leland on the whole issue of labor coverage, and then we'll come back to Phil Corvo for Democracy Now!
Well, I think the caller may be addressing a couple of different things in the labor coverage. In whether we choose to do a talk show hour on labor issues or bring more people in from labor organizations, I regretfully will pass the buck on that one because I don't book the talk shows. But as far as the news coverage, I know that one of our reporters, Gil Halstead, has a very strong interest in labor issues and frequently does labor reporting. Probably we could do more, as many media organizations could. I do agree with Rich that labor is something that is not covered widely in all forms of media, whether it's Wisconsin Public Radio or newspapers or television. So we probably could be paying more attention to it. Whether we should be paying a lot more attention or how we cover it is something we continue to debate. But we do have at least one reporter on staff who does follow labor issues and will frequently file reports on it.
And then Rich's second point was on the program Democracy Now!, and it's a news program produced independently for people who don't know it, and distributed widely, primarily I think on a lot of community radio stations. You can also pick it up on the web. It's something that we hear a lot about from listeners. And Phil Corvo, why isn't it on Wisconsin Public Radio?
Well, as we started out the program saying that Wisconsin Public Radio's part of its mission is to strive to be objective and to strive to be balanced. And Democracy Now! is a great program. I listen to it online sometimes. There's a community radio station in Madison that carries it, and but it is an advocacy program. It does have it is not an objective and balanced program. If there were a comparable program that was a conservative program, we might consider it. But I think to air one program in our schedule that is that doesn't claim to be balanced and that is advocacy journalism would be against our philosophy. It's something we can consider, but it would be a change in the way that we program. And we've had a lot of people that have called and are interested in it. And again, it's a good program, but it is a program that has a point of view.
Let's talk about that philosophy of objectivity, because especially if you follow a lot of media blogs and so on, this is a very big topic everywhere these days as the media come under increasing scrutiny. And at Wisconsin Public Radio, objectivity is sort of the benchmark, the hallmark, but it's kind of a fluid thing. I mean, there's not really a line that you can draw and say, "There it is. We're objective." Mm-hmm. What do we strive for, and then what's the reality of what we actually accomplish? And I don't know who wants to start with that.
Oh, I guess I can start. It's an area that's and I'd like to hear from listeners too. That's rich in discussion points, but one of the things about objectivity and balance is sometimes I think news organizations, by trying to cover both sides of the issue, miss the issue. And I think that's a good point. I think striving for accuracy is maybe a better term for it than strictly balance and objectivity of trying to present both sides of an issue. But sometimes I think missing the issue altogether. So that's a start. I'll pass it over to my colleague.
Back to our cleanup hitter here.
Well, I mean, I think that oftentimes it's whether we cover something fairly or not is in the ears of the listener, and that's why I encourage listeners to contact us. We all have things that we bring to individual stories, things that are important to us, our own experiences, and we try to take what we've learned and learn more from it. But we're human, and sometimes we're going to fall short of the mark, and that's why I believe we depend on listeners to check up and say, you could have covered this, or you could have included this person or this organization. And that's something that, becomes part of our body of knowledge for the next time we cover that sort of story.
Let's head to Milwaukee, and Dave joins us. Good morning, Dave.
Morning. I just want to say that, I listen to both commercial and public radio, and like the big station in Milwaukee is WTMJ. And I mainly listen to them because of the traffic and weather and sports. But as far as the in-depth news, I think Wisconsin Public Radio does the best job. I mean, it seems like it's turned into entertainment on commercial radio. A lot of times they'll give the news, and then they'll talk all over it. They'll inject their own opinion into it. Where Wisconsin Public Radio, they're doing the news, and it's the news. It's straightforward. They're not adding their opinion to it.
Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate that comment, and also Dawn, who called earlier from Appleton. If you do travel around and listen to other public radio services in other states, I think many people will agree that for all our faults, we are one of the best, and it's for some of the reasons that we've talked to today. And we do listen to listeners for ideas and for criticism. Many many public radio stations around the country do know local news, and it's partly a resource issue. And by being a state network, we can combine resources and bring a very respectable news operation to the state. But putting it in perspective with other public radio stations and commercial radio stations, I think we do a pretty good job, and I appreciate that compliment.
Let's take care of a couple of emails before we hit the top of the hour. We heard from Karen in Eau Claire, who says she misses the extended national news she used to get on the Ideas Network. Apparently, from 9 to 5, it's shortened from what it is now, and I'm not sure of the change there.
It's not a change that I'm aware of. I mean, NPR does, I can say that does offer, it's sort of it's almost like a 3-part newscast. Mm-hmm. NPR news starts at a minute past the hour. It goes until 4 past the hour. Then it pauses, and stations who choose to can cut away at that point with their own material. Then NPR goes for 2 more minutes, and other stations can cut away at 6 after if they want to do their own material. Perhaps the emailer is referring to the fact that we cut away at 4 after and do a 5-minute statewide newscast. And it's a balancing act. I mean, because we have a commitment to not only national news but statewide news, I think it's important that we take that extra time and tell you what's going on in Wisconsin. I feel that especially if you're listening to Morning Edition, you're going to get a lot of national and international news, and I think it more than makes up for the fact that we cut away from NPR at 4 after instead of 6 after. And even on the Ideas Network, I think there's enough discussion of things in the news that I think it balances out the fact that that 2 minutes of really newscasts or headlines that those are missing.
And I see I had a note from our producer here who points out that we do have more news in the morning, and then after 8 o'clock we lighten up to just 6 minutes of local state or national and international news from NPR. Mm-hmm. For a certain part of the day on the Ideas Network. Here's another email. Why don't we cover sports?
Oh, but it's resources.
you hear that one once
in
a while.
Yeah, we do hear it. I mean, and it's not because, I'll say why it's not. It's not because, we don't think public radio listeners care about sports. I mean, I'm a huge sports fan, but, some of it is just, what is, what's important to cover. So we tend to go more toward issues and, economics, business, environment. We include sports scores occasionally, but, obviously not as often as some people would like.
Well, and also I think it's covered pretty well by commercial media. So it is a matter of resources and time. There are only 24 hours in the day. So I appreciate that. We are, many of us are sports fans, and we appreciate that. But I think that's one area that commercial media do cover very well.
All right. That's about all the time we've got. So Phil Corriveau and Michael Leland, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Pleasure.
We've been talking about news here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And if you'd like to find out more about our news, of course, you can always check out our website at WPR.org. And you can also find ways to get in touch with Michael Leland and Phil Corriveau if you would like to. If you'd like a copy of the program, you can get one by calling the radio store at 800-747-7444, or you can listen to the program online at our archives at WPR.org. Leo Duran produced the hour and also provided us with on-air production. I'm Gene Purcell, in for Joy Cardine, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.